How to actually win at Catan, placement, probability, and the robber. Dax here. Let us skip the brochure language and find out what actually works. You win Catan in your first two settlement placements, not in the mid-game scramble. The math is non-negotiable. A 6 or 8 hits 5 times in 36 rolls, 536, while a 2 or 12 hits once, 136, 5 times rarer. So your opening pip count, the little dots under each number, and your resource diversity decide roughly 70% of the game before turn 1. Place on high pip intersections that touch 5 to 6 different numbers, and as many distinct resources as possible, secure a real path to ore plus wheat for cities, and treat the robber as a targeting weapon, not a chore. Everything else, ports, longest road, largest army, is just deciding which lane to floor it in. Let me say the unpopular part out loud. If you lose at Catan, it's usually not the dice. It's that you put your first settlement on a pretty looking corner with a fat 9 and called it a day, and now you're 3 turns deep wondering why you have 11 sheep and no ore. Catan disguises itself as a luck game, so casual players have something to blame. But underneath the cute hexes is a cold little probability engine, and the people who win consistently are the ones who internalized that engine years ago. This guide hands it to you in one read. We'll count pips, weigh resources, work the 2-1 ports, weaponize the robber, and pick a side in the longest road v's largest army knife fight. None of it is secret. All of it is ignored by the person you're about to beat. If this guide helps, using the Amazon links on the page is a simple way to support Puzzlewick at no additional cost to you. Why is Catan really won in the first two placements? Because Catan compounds. Every resource you collect early buys roads, settlements, and cities that collect more asterisk resources. It's exponential, and the base you set in the opening is the base everything multiplies from. Think of your two starting settlements as capital investment. A corner that produces reliably from turn one isn't just a bit better than a weak corner. Over a 60 to 90 minute game, it's the difference between a snowball and a stalled cart. One blogger put it bluntly, placement matters most because of the asterisk exponential nature of game. Capital investments produce more profit. The single best habit you can build, count the pips. Every number token has little dots, 1 for a 2, 5 for a 6. They literally encode probability. To rate any intersection, add the pips on its 3 adjacent hexes. The corner with the highest dot sum is, on average, your most productive corner. That's the whole trick David Richeson's probability write-up reduces it to. High pip sum equals more resource cards over the game, touching more asterisk distinct asterisk numbers, smoother income, fewer dead turns. Touching more asterisk distinct, resources less dependence on trading. Do this for your first settlement, then place your second to cover the numbers and resources the first one missed. The pip count, in one sentence, add up the dots on the 3 hexes around an intersection. Highest dot sum wins. As the math write-up puts it, the intersection with the largest dot sum is the most valuable. Do this for every candidate corner before you commit. I got unlucky is usually a placement confession if your numbers stopped hitting. Ask whether you overinvested in 2 numbers instead of spreading across 5 or 6. Variance hurts concentrated boards far more than diversified ones. The dice didn't betray you, your opening did. What's the actual dice probability and why are 6 and 8 gold? 2 dice, 36 equally likely combinations, that's the entire universe. Here's how often each number shows up. 2 then 1 way 136, 3 then 2 ways 236, 4 then 3 ways 336, 5 then 4 ways 436, 6 then 5 ways 536, 7 then 6 ways the robber no resources, 8 then 5 ways 536, 9 then 4 ways 436, 10 then 3 ways 336, 11 then 2 ways 236, 12 then 1 way. 136, 6 and 8 are the kings, 5 chances each every roll. 2 and 12 are nearly worthless, 1 chance each, 5 times rarer than a 6 asterisk. A hex with a red 6 on it isn't 20% better than a hex with a 12, it produces 5 times as often. That's why the 6 and 8 tokens are printed in red and why experienced players physically lean toward them when picking corners. The chance of a given token hitting is exactly its pips/36. Memorize the shape of the curve, it peaks hard in the middle and falls off a cliff at the edges, and you'll never again be seduced by a lonely 11 just because it's next to wheat. Red numbers, real income 6 and 8 are printed in red for a reason. If you can get a settlement touching both a 6 and an 8 on different resources, you've built an income engine most of the table can't match. Prioritize those intersections in the opening draft. The 7 gives you nothing directly, 7 is the most common roll 636 but produces 0 resources, it triggers the robber and the discard. You can't settle on a 7. Plan your hand size around it, holding 8 plus cards is gambling that the next 7 doesn't land before your turn. How do I pick resources, diversity, or doubling down? Know what you're buying first. The build costs are the real rulebook. Road equals 1 wood plus 1 brick, settlement equals 1 wood plus 1 brick plus 1 sheep plus 1 wheat, city equals 3 ore plus 2 wheat, development card equals 1 ore plus 1 sheep plus 1 wheat. Notice what's doing the heavy lifting. Wheat is in everything that scores, and ore powers both cities and dev cards, the 2 fastest point engines in the game. Sheep is the most slept on resource because it quietly feeds settlements and the dev card deck, where largest army and victory point cards live. The rule, diversity beats abundance. If your opening touches all five resources across decent numbers, you can build almost anything without begging for trades. As the placement guides put it flatly, diversity beats abundance, avoid resource tunnel vision. The trap is falling in love with a stack of one resource and assuming you'll trade for the rest, then the robber parks on your producer and the table refuses your 4-1. That said, your asterisk second asterisk settlement can lean toward a plan. If you're going cities first, the most reliable competitive strategy, make sure at least one corner has a strong or plus wheat pairing on good numbers. Cities double your output on those hexes, they're the best multiplier in the box. Close up of the hex grid and number tokens, the 6 and 8 highest probability rolls are the dots you want your settlements touching. The city's first spine secure or plus wheat early upgrade settlements to cities ASAP. Cities double production on their hexes and are worth 2 points each. Pair the city engine with a steady dev card buy and you're simultaneously racing for points and largest army. It's the most forgiving competitive plan for newer players. Don't sleep on sheep community strategy. Notes repeatedly flag that the sheep resource is often overlooked, yet it's required for settlements and every development card. A sheep port or a strong sheep hex quietly fuels a largest army run while opponents fight over ore. When is the 2-1 port game actually worth it? Ports let you trade at better than bank rates. A generic 3-1 port, any 3 same resource than one of choice, or a specific 2-1 port, for example, 2 or then 1 anything. The default with no port is a miserable 4-1 at the bank. Here's the honest take, a 2-1 port is only good if you reliably overproduce that exact resource. A 2-1 ore port is a goldmine if you're sitting on 2 red number ore hexes, you can convert surplus ore into whatever you're short on, every turn and never depend on the table's goodwill. A 2-1 port with no matching production is decoration. The port strategy's real strength is flexibility. As one strategy primer notes, with a strong port, you are not confined to any one particular strategy so you can roll with the punches. If the longest road is open, go for it. If the largest army is open, go for it. You turn one fat resource stream into optionality. The fatal flaw that same primer warns that if the robber stays on your main producer of your 2-1 port resource, you are guaranteed to lose. A port build is a single point of failure. Defend that hex like your game depends on it, because it does. Match the port to your hexes, not your hopes, only commit a settlement to 2-1 port if you already produce that resource on good numbers. Building toward a port to fix a resource you don't have is backwards, you'll spend the whole game short on the input the port needs. 3-1 generic ports are underrated by snobs, everyone hunts the sexy 2-1. But a generic 3-1 on a diversified board smooths every trade you'll ever make and doesn't create a single resource dependency the robber can exploit. For balanced openings, 3-1 is often the safer, more flexible buy. How do I actually use the robber to win, not just annoy people? The robber is the only direct weapon in base Catan and most players wasted on whoever annoyed them last. Use it like a professional. Hit the leader, not the loudmouth. Park the robber on the hex feeding whoever's closest to 10 points. Slowing the leader is worth more than petty revenge. Steal the resource you need or the one they need most. When you rob a card, you're also denying. Target the player whose engine you most want to choke. Block the resource they can't replace. Putting the robber on someone's asterisk only asterisk or hurts far more than on a resource they get from 3 corners. Make it stick. Place it where it'll sit longest. The everything gasagame slash placement wisdom. When in doubt, place the robber on the player to your right so that it spends the most time there and not back on you, because they act last before it loops back to you. Starve a knight per target. Strategy guides note the robber stays put longer on a player with no knights, no dev cards to buy it off, they can't move it. Punish the table's weakest dev card player. And defensively, don't build your whole economy around one juicy 8 that screams rob me. Spread risk so no single robber placement guts you. Settlements and cities planted on the board, each scoring resources from the 3 hexes it borders. Robber target priority 1, whoever's leading. 2, whoever holds the resource you most need to steal. 3, whoever has no knights to move it off. Pick the hex that satisfies the most of these at once, usually a leader's irreplaceable ore or wheat. Stay under 8 cards, a 7 forces everyone holding 8 plus cards to discard half. The 7 is the single most common roll. Spend down to 7 cards before passing your turn when you can. Don't gift the table your surplus to the discard pile. What's the trading psychology that wins games? Trading is where nice players quietly lose. Internalize one reframe, a trade you offer should help you more than it helps them. A blunt strategy note puts it as harshly as it deserves, trade is exploitation, please exploit, don't give easy trades. That's not being a jerk, that's playing the game in front of you. Real principles, never feed the leader, the oldest table truth in Catan, when someone's near victory the table stops trading with them. Be the first to cut them off and watch others follow. Charge a premium when you're the only source. If you hold the last ore and someone needs it for a city that wins, that ore is worth far more than 1-1, make them bleed for it. Trade away abundance, hoard scarcity, dump your 11th sheep happily. Cling to the resource you and the table are both short on. Watch the board to set prices. Trade is necessary precisely asterisk because limited corners can't produce everything, leverage that. The player who can't make ore will overpay and you should let them. There's a respectable counter-school, open hand Catan, where everyone plays cards face up that argues visible hands produce more and better trades because players can model each other. Worth trying with a friendly group, but in a competitive game, information is ammunition. Keep your hand and your intentions close. The cities and knights barbarian track the rolling threat that forces players to build up their knights. The leader gets the cold shoulder reference right up, state it plainly. If a player is close to winning the game, often the other players will refuse to trade with him in order to blockade him from winning. Don't wait for the table, be the one who stops trading first and names the leader out loud. Open hand Catan is a fun experiment, not a winning default. Playing with hands face up genuinely produces more trades and better games socially. But it also erases the bluffing edge. Try it for fun nights, don't bring it to a game you're trying to win. Longest road or largest army, which race should I pick? Both are worth 2 points, and in most games the winner holds one of them. The mistake is chasing both, half committing to each and securing neither. Decide early which one the board is handing you. Read the board, open board, lots of empty edges, longest road is live, a wood plus brick engine can pump roads and grab it. As the primer says, on a wide open board, the player who can pump out the most roads can probably get it. Crowded board, contested edges, longest road gets blocked easily, a single opponent settlement can snap your chain. Hex sides become the bottleneck, whoever reaches them first wins the race, and that's fragile. Steady or plus wheat? Largest army is your lane, buy dev cards every turn you can, knights accumulate toward the three you need for the badge while victory point cards and monopolies hide in the same deck. It's the more asterisk resilient path, nobody can physically block your army the way they block a road. The deciding logic from the strategists. If you're too far from acquiring one of them, you need to try to secure the other. Pick your lane by turn 3 or 4, commit, and don't let ego drag you into a road war you've already lost. And watch the steal, longest road and largest army can both be taken asterisk mid-game if someone beats your length or knight count. 2 points swinging across the table is often the whole game, hold a buffer, and time your final settlement or knight to snatch it back on the turn. You can also reach 10. Board shape decides the badge, open edges then roads are viable, go longest road. Crowded contested edges then roads get blocked, pivot to largest army via dev cards. Largest army is harder to block, so it's the safer pick when the board is tight or you already hold or plus wheat. Hide your last 2 points, knights, dev card VP, and a quiet road extension can all close the gap from 8 to 10 in a single turn. Telegraph a different plan, then spike for the win before the table can robber you or cut your trades. Surprise is worth a point. Final verdict. Catan rewards the player who treats it as the probability game it actually is. Win the opening, pip count every corner, chase the red sixes and eights, spread across 5 to 6 numbers in all 5 resources, and lock down or plus wheat so cities and dev cards keep flowing. From there it's discipline, weaponize the robber against the leader, never give a fair trade, defend your key producers, and commit early to either longest road or largest army based on what the board is handing you. Base game pick 1 is all you need to master every bit of this. Cities and Knights is the depth upgrade for when base Catan feels solved, and the Tower X Organizer is the quality of life buy that keeps the box hitting the table. Do the math, play a little ruthless, and I got unlucky stops being your most used phrase. The dice are fair, be better than the dice. Frequently asked questions, what are the best numbers to build on in Catan? 6 and 8, each rolls 5 ways out of 36, 5-36, about 13.9%, the highest of any number, which is why both are printed in red. After them 5 and 9, 4-36, then 4 and 10, 3-36. Build your strongest settlements touching 6s and 8s on different resources. What numbers should I avoid in Catan? 2 and 12, each rolls only 1 way in 36, 1-36, about 2.8%, making them roughly 5 times rarer than a 6. They're nearly worthless as a primary production number. Only accept them as a third hex when they add a resource or number you're otherwise missing. How do I count pips to evaluate a settlement spot? Every number token has dots pips equal to how many ways it rolls, 1 for a 2, 5 for a 6. Add the pips on the 3 hexes around an intersection. The corner with the highest dot sum produces the most resources on average. It's the fastest reliable way to compare placements. Should I place for resource diversity or for the highest numbers? Both in balance, but diversity wins ties. Aim for high pip counts and coverage of 5 to 6 different numbers and as many of the 5 resources as possible. A settlement starved of a resource forces you into bad trades, and diversity beats abundance is the rule veterans repeat. Don't tunnel vision on one resource. What's the best opening strategy in Catan? Place your first settlement on the highest pip intersection you can grab, ideally touching a 6 or 8, then place your second to cover the numbers and resources the first one missed. A common ideal is one settlement on a 4-5-6 corner and the other on an 8-9-10 corner, capturing 6 strong numbers across diverse resources. Is the city's first or road's first strategy better? City's first is the more reliable competitive plan for most players. Secure or plus wheat, upgrade settlements to cities which double production and are worth 2 points each, and buy dev cards toward largest army. Road's first, wood plus brick, only shines on an open board where longest road is uncontested. Let the board decide. When should I take largest army versus longest road? Read the board. Open empty edges favor longest road via wood plus brick road engine. Crowded contested edges get your road blocked easily, so pivot to largest army through dev cards. It can't be physically blocked. Pick one lane by turn 3 or 4, chasing both usually gets you neither. How does the robber work and how do I use it well? When a 7 is rolled or you play a knight, you move the robber onto a hex, blocking its production, and steal a card from an adjacent player. Use it to slow the leader, deny a resource they can't easily replace, and place it where it'll sit longest, often on the player to your right since they act last before it loops back to you. Are 2-1 ports worth it? Only if you reliably overproduce that exact resource. A 2-1 ore port is a printing press if you sit on 2 strong ore hexes, with no matching production it's just a pretty corner. The catch, if the robber camps your producer, a port build can lose you the game, defend that hex. Generic 3-1 ports are safer for balanced boards. How many cards can I safely hold in Catan? Try to stay at 7 or fewer when you pass your turn. On a roll of 7, the single most common roll 636, every player holding 8 or more cards must discard half. Spend down your surplus before ending your turn rather than gifting it to the discard pile. Should I trade with the player who's winning? Number 1, someone is close to 10 points, stop feeding them and be the first at the table to say so out loud because others usually follow. If you must trade with the leader, charge a steep premium, especially when you're their only source of a resource they need to close out the game. Do I need an expansion to enjoy Catan? No, the base game is complete and is where all the core strategy lives. Get the 5-6 player extension only if your group is regularly 5-6 people, and Cities and Knights once base Catan starts feeling solved and you want a deeper, longer game. An organizer insert is the highest value non-gameplay add-on for frequent players.